Hi, I'm Madonna Guy, and you're watching the Natural Alternative Podcast. I'm honored to welcome Dr. Billy Bay. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Madonna. Hello, everybody.
I saw you with Michael Griffiths a few weeks ago talking, so I would love you to tell people your story.
So I'm a practicing doctor on the north side of Brisbane. I'm a GP registrar, and I've had enough with the deceit and the lies that has been going on with these COVID vaccines. And recently, I came out, so to speak, on the mountain in Mount Tambourine in Queensland, where I revealed the truth that I think many people know, that these vaccines are harming hundreds of thousands of Australians and killing hundreds of Australians as well. At least these are the reported death to the TGA. And in my experience, I'm seeing evidence of that continuously. And what really infuriates me and what prompted me to come out on that day on the mountain was that my patients are telling me that they are not acknowledged, they are gaslit, they are told to go away. They're told they're insane when they question their doctors about, hey, is my chest pain from the mRNA vaccine? No, you're insane, you must be wrong. It's got nothing to do with that. Couldn't possibly be anything to do with that. And interestingly, even when myself brings it up with patients who have chest pain or on their way to hospital or can't breathe, I say, you know, that how many mRNA vaccines have you had? And they will tell me, but they'll say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Not all of them, but about half of them. And so it's very interesting that this narrative that there's nothing possible to do with the mRNA vaccines, but nothing possible in any way connected to the side effects that we're seeing, is a narrative that's not only pushed by the doctors, it's pushed by the TGA, who aren't investigating these deaths. It's certainly pushed by the government. It's definitely pushed by Pfizer and Moderna. And it's got to stop. That is what is ruining our society. And that's why I've spoken out, because we've got to get the truth out there.
Awesome. And it's like, for me, yeah, I don't know whether you've been watching, have you been watching the trials right from the start for the last 18 months, 2 years? You know, sort of it's.
The new Nuremberg trials or the trials from Pfizer?
I love the Nuremberg 2 trials. They were amazing. Great interviews. Yeah,
well, I must say I'm quite scared of those new Nuremberg trials. And sincerely, I am. I think that there may be hell to pay for the doctors and other accessories to this greatest crime of humanity. And people should take it seriously, including all medical practitioners around me, because I think that justice, it may be delayed, but it is inevitable. Yeah. And people need to stand up now and stand on the right side of history and truth and defend their patients and not run away from the truth and help out these patients who have been injured. It's such a sad situation.
It really is. And now they're coming for our babies, and that's what scares the hell out of me. I've got a 4.5-year-old grandson, and his parents are asleep. So they will be vaccinating him, and we know it's not a vaccine.
Yes. And how old is the baby?
4.5. So he's very close.
Okay, right. So 4.5 months.
He's 4.5 years old, unfortunately.
Okay, all right.
They haven't approved that yet, but they have in the States.
Okay, yeah. Well, did you know that Dr. Robert Boy, B-O-O-Y, one of Australia's leading infectious disease specialists for pediatrics, has said that those type of family members, the 6-month-old to 4-year-olds, are bioterrorists?
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, and that is why he is justifying the forced or attempted forced inoculation of all these babies and toddlers with this DNA-altering experimental gene therapy, because he says we all know that they're bioterrorists. You know, he was saying it in a sort of a half-jokingly way, but that's not acceptable, I don't think. It's never acceptable to call a baby a terrorist in any shape or form. And that demonization of this age group has already begun. So the propaganda is astounding and is reprehensible. And
so in other words, they might have a virus and be killing grandma. Is that what he meant by that?
Exactly. That's right.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Because, and we know that that's false, because COVID-19 is not, I repeat, not a vaccine-preventable disease.
No, it has not done anything towards that. In fact, the studies out of Israel show that the more jabs you've got, the more likely you are to actually get it and spread it.
Yes, those journal studies also coming out of England recently as well, showing the same thing. It's really getting quite shocking and scary how dangerous the vaccine is, actually.
There's been some study out of the military in the States as well. Have you seen that? That's been quite. It's
touched a surface level.
It's closed information because the doctors within the military are the doctors who treat the military. So it's all a closed system. So therefore, that database, they love it because it is so well protected and enclosed. And I can't remember her name, but there's a doctor who's working with 3,000 doctors and scientists to pull apart that data as well as the Pfizer data. And even the Pfizer data itself, within 3 months of the trial, had killed 3% of the people.
That Pfizer data was meant to be kept under wraps for 75 years, but through the Freedom of Information, they have exposed that in the courts in the United States. And thankfully, they've done that because they've shown that the FDA, the CDC, Pfizer, and our very own TGA, they knew exactly that these Pfizer vaccines, at the very least, were dangerous and caused deaths. And so it's absolutely criminal what's going on here.
Is there any hope for Australians, do you think?
There's always hope, yes. If I didn't think there'd be hope, then I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, which is running the Queensland People's Protest.
Beautiful.
It's an organisation that seeks to peacefully protest against the mandates that are still existing in Queensland. I don't know if you know, but we're at day 888 today, 888 days of state of emergency in Queensland. And that's 2 years, 5 months and 6 days.
Wow.
And that's really a crazy situation, if not because a lot of people think that the pandemic is over, the restrictions are over. So when we go out there and protest demanding our human rights back, some people, not all, say that we're conspiracy theorists and the pandemic's over. But legislatively, the governor in council just extended the state of emergency yet again to September 22nd, 2022. It is truth. It is reality. It's not a conspiracy theory. It is happening in Queensland. And then we have another group of people who say, all right, okay, fine, Dr. William, we accept that we are in a state of emergency, but so what? We're cool. Everything's okay. Nothing's happening. But they obviously don't have people who have doctors or nurses or ambulance officers or police, et cetera, that are subject to these vaccine mandates, for one thing. And then there are all the other restrictions that come along with the state of emergency, including that under Section 362B of the Public Health Act 2005, our Chief Health Officer, Dr. John Gerard, he has the power to literally tell anybody to do anything that he wants at any time for any reason, as long as the legislation says, as long as he reasonably believes it's in some way connected to preventing the spread of COVID-19. So that is his legislative authority now, and the Supreme Court has tried to check that power. It couldn't. It said they can't. And the Premier herself, she can't check that power. So we are both in danger right now, because at any moment there could be police running through the door under Dr. John Gerard's orders, arresting us for whatever reason, disinformation, misinformation, you know, spreading lies, which we're not. But yes, if he thinks that they are, then we are, then we've got no say about it whatsoever, and we'll be punished.
There's that doctor in America who's just been charged and thrown in jail. She started the, you know, Gold, Dr. Simone Gold. So
right,
she's been thrown into prison. I mean, she's been
really?
In there for 60 days already in solitary confinement, and she has been charged and it's continuing. So it's, and she's been, because she was one of the ones in that group of doctors who right at the beginning were speaking about hydroxychloroquine and saying, right, this is crazy, what are we doing? And she,
yes,
you know, like many of these doctors, huge list of qualifications and experience, and all they're trying to do is save their patients, and they're being shut down.
They are being shut down. There are many doctors in Australia who've come before me who have tried their best to help people to have early treatments for COVID through the COVID Medical Network, which is now the Australian Medical Network. The protocols for hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were banned. They literally banned this safe medication from Australia after having years of being able to prescribe it safely. And they've also been censoring doctors as well. The reason lots of doctors haven't come out is because doctors like me who do speak out, we are violating what's called the national law, which is a regulation enforced by ARPRA to make sure that we're not undermining the public health campaigns. Now, they've even admitted that these public health campaigns don't need to be based on truth or on evidence or on science. As long as anything that I say coming out of this doctor's mouth is in any way contradictory to the health messaging, that's justification to deregister me as a doctor. Thankfully, they haven't done that to me yet. And I think that's because of pressure of senators like Alex Antic, Malcolm Robinson, and of course, Jared Rennick, who have been waging a campaign of truth and justice with ARPRA to finally allow the doctors to come out and speak freely, because certainly we are not at the moment.
No, I heard the only way there's free speech in Australia is in front of the High Court.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, even that I found disappointing, because when Clive Palmer brought the challenge back in the early days of the pandemic to allow freedom of movement between the states, which I firmly believed is a very basic constitutional right. I mean, that's the whole point of federation, is to have unity among states. And then, you know, they threw it out. So it was that point in time for me, I actually lost faith in the court system. I don't hold too much value in it whatsoever, because they can't uphold that most basic law of our Australian constitution. What other laws are they going to be upholding?
Yes. And everyone's holding up the Australian Vaccination Network booklet and saying, hey, what about coercion? You're not allowed to coerce. You're not allowed to force it. And yet here
we are. The immunisation handbook. Yeah, that's exactly, yes. That's exactly what I mean. Like, people say that, you know, we need to have more statistics or arguments to show the dangers of the vaccine to the public. Well, no, actually, I don't think we do. It's quite clear already. There's so many established laws. The Queensland Council of Civil Liberties, the Queensland Human Rights Commission, the medical discrimination laws themselves clearly state that you can't discriminate against people based on their medical status, but yet here we are. Yes. People are losing their jobs all the time. There's suicides. There are people without access to hospitals and medical care. And that is why we're protesting this Thursday at 1 p.m. at 8 Mile Plains outside Woolworths head office in Brisbane. Because Woolworths has been egregious in their treatment, their bullying of their employees by making them take this vaccine. And who are they? They're not their employees' doctors. Yes. And are they going to take responsibility for the deaths and injuries caused by these so-called vaccines? I don't think so. But we're going to make them be accountable by letting them know that we're aware of their treachery, and the people of Queensland will not stand for it.
What's the time and place for that again?
All details for our protest can always be found on our website, which is www.qpp.life, L-I-F for freedom, E. But it's 8 Mile Plains this Thursday, 1 p.m. on the south side of Brisbane.
Beautiful. And are there more of these coming up, or I assume people can subscribe and get alerts when things are going on?
Yeah, yes, we're on Twitter and Telegram group as well. We are actually running two protests a week. We have been for a while now. We're up to protest number 20. It's part of what's called the State Undemocracy Tour. And we're actually going to be visiting three different state parliamentarians in Townsville on the 12th of July, which will be quite an exciting event as well, hopefully.
Nice. Are they people who are already on board, or are they people you're hoping to get on board? Because I find a lot of politicians, and they've just got no idea.
No, except for Senator Malcolm Roberts and many of the political candidates of the IMOP party, we haven't had any other political speakers at our rallies, which is a bit disappointing, but I believe they'll come around eventually. But these people that we're visiting, these three members of parliament, they're the traitorous ones, the members of Anastasia Palaszczuk's government, who voted on the 31st of March this year to end democracy in Queensland, transfer all of our legislative power over to the CHO in Charlotte Street. So that's why we're visiting them, to let them know, sure, you may have won temporarily, you may have, you know, destroyed our democracy, thanks for that, but you're not going to get away with it. Inevitably, we are still aware, we're still here, we're still protesting, and we are still going to let you know that we haven't forgotten who you are and what you've done.
Yes. Now, what were you seeing as a doctor with patients?
Well, I was seeing and continue to see all types of crazy stuff. And I say crazy because prior to this COVID-19 vaccine, one could diagnose patients quite successfully based on medical textbooks and experience and pattern recognition. Now, I'm faced with presentations that don't seem to fit into any previously established patterns. For example, I had a lady recently who just suddenly developed an inability to move her left leg. And otherwise, why it's strange, because she's not like a 70-year-old stroke victim or had some pre-existing neurological deficit. She is literally a healthy and fit person who just suddenly could not move her left leg for no known reason whatsoever. Did she have any vaccines? Of course she did. She had, three of her Pfizer vaccines. And that was literally the only thing that I could find that could potentially find out why she just could not move her leg. She couldn't move her leg so much that she couldn't even get onto an ambulance or even go to hospital, because they just couldn't move. She just couldn't move from where she was because her leg was fixated in the extended position. So it's just very strange. And speaking of strange, and forgive my French, but I also came across a gentleman who was ejaculating blood. Now, I'd certainly never seen that before. And I bring that up not just.
No, I don't think value. I've ever heard of that in 27 years. Interesting.
He showed me a picture of it because I doubted what he was saying, even having seen all these strange things. But he showed me the picture of his bloody semen, and it was crazy, but fully believable, because not only he'd actually had 6 vaccines, believe it or not, because he's in disability care. So he'd been forced among them for different reasons to have it 6 times, which I won't go further into for his own privacy. But he felt helpless, and that he was trying to reach out to me saying, can you please stop having these vaccines? Look, here's the evidence. I'm getting chest pain. That's what I was there for. I wasn't there for the semen. That was just there by the way. And so he knows as a disabled patient what's going on. And those are the type of vulnerable people that are getting affected and forced into these vaccines, including, all the foster care children who now, the courts have ruled that the foster parents and the biological parents have no rights over, and they just got to get this vaccine. Australian Idol, you've got to have 3 jabs to go on Australian Idol, I saw yesterday. I mean, what's all that about?
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. We went to Penn and Teller last night, and just about everyone on stage was wearing a mask, and I was thinking, okay, so are they doing that because they believe in the whole thing, or because they're trying to make a show of it, being safe?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, this mask wearing and vaccine taking and checking in when it was around, it's all part of a compliance process, I believe, that doesn't really align with the science or health, but aligns just with totalitarianism and control. Yes. And we must learn from the mistakes of the past. We must learn from history and see what's happened to places like the USSR and Germany that have gone down these paths of totalitarianism. People have died, and a lot of people, and I would really like that not to happen here.
And have you gone down the route of supplements and things that have been helping people? Because obviously, as a naturopath, I've been has that sort of come across your desk yet, the sort of things that you can do to help people?
In general, I always recommend a daily probiotic for people. I've done that for years because there's a lot of evidence showing the efficacy of that. And vitamins, if your diet is lacking, is always useful as well. So, but I know what you mean. I mean, the protocol by Dr. Zelensky was groundbreaking, and I would have loved to have issued and treated my patients with that protocol, but I didn't. Why? Because I was afraid, like most of my colleagues still are, because I knew that if I would dare to do the right thing and actively treat COVID, then that would be the end for me as a doctor.
It's awful, isn't it? Yeah.
It's hideous. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Criminal.
Yeah. And I was listening, because one of the ingredients that seems to be in there is the graphene oxide. So, and apparently the higher our levels of glutathione in the body, that helps to disperse it and eliminate it, which seems to be why N-acetylcysteine helps with both, because that's been in Zelenko's protocol, NAC, and it's in his Z-Stack, his supplements. So glutathione, NAC is a precursor to glutathione, and when we're dealing with all of that graphene oxide, for some reason that lowers our vitamin D levels. And way back in the early days, there was a study out of Thailand or Malaysia or somewhere that basically showed the higher the vitamin D levels, the less symptoms you got of COVID, and the lower the vitamin D, the more likely death. So, and I've seen that now for the last year, vaccinated or unvaccinated, and as we know, they're not vaccines. But whether people have got COVID or not, if I've got their vitamin D up over 100 to 150, then they hardly get any symptoms whatsoever, if they have any at all, when they're around people who are getting it. So it's been very interesting watching it work.
Yes, yeah. And for me as a doctor, unfortunately, I haven't taken a strong interest in many of the, at least Western medicine studies coming out, because I know how sensitive everybody is. So I find it hard to trust any data from any source really anymore, actually. That's why when people ask me, you know, what do I think about the evidence, and I just try and speak from what I've seen personally, because everything else, if it's coming second hand or third hand, it has the potential for being corrupted or modified.
And now we've
finally
got the government look, or at least mainstream media, for the first time, they're finally saying, oh, you know, these one in a million people who might need handouts from the government, but there's all these rules that people have to get to. So one of my clients, she had myocarditis after, I think, her first Pfizer shot. She was hospitalized on four separate occasions, but she didn't end up, and she ended up spending quite a few nights in hospital, but they still refused to write it down. So even though something like 12 different team members asked whether she'd had the jab, because this is it was probably a year ago, she was in aged care, so she was forced to do it, 18 years old, and her heart is still getting over it, and she's taking a lot of supplementation. But the doctor has to agree that it's connected to the jab.
Yes.
You have to spend a night in hospital. Yep. Are there other rules associated with it, or is it pretty much?
Well, I don't know, because I don't work in a clinic at the moment because of vaccination
Manigans.
Requirements. So I don't know the exact particulars. But I do my best when I think there's a vaccine-related injury. I document it in my patient's notes for their general practitioner to follow up with. We can only play the part best we can to the role that we've been given.
But
I know personally that my mother has been vaccine injured, and she applied for compensation, and that's as far as she got. And it's been, I think, about 7 months now. So, you know, they show me the money, government. Where's all these thousands of dollars they promised the vaccine injured? And why are they getting injured in the first place anyway?
Yes.
It's just absolutely insane that the Australian people have allowed themselves to be doctored to by a government that is obviously not working for their best interests.
No. And the TGA lied. Like you said at the beginning, they lied that they had gone through the data and documentation and came along with that safe and effective. I know that any natural therapy, you know, it has to go through a huge, rigorous TGA process to get approved in Australia. And yet these just slid under the door without.
Those brought them through. Yep. Express lane.
Yes. And it seems, and one of the researchers, and once again, you know, I've just been trying to listen to scientists from around the world as much as I can, and there's some indication that the technology is going to now never have to be approved, you know, it will never have to go through safety data again. So they're saying that the mRNA, they're already looking at next year or the year after having the flu and COVID shot all in one. So they're obviously talking mRNA with your flu shot.
Well, I didn't know until this morning. Somebody posted on our Queensland People's Protest page that, did you know there's an office of gene therapy, gene technology in Australia? I didn't. And I just had a look there today. They've got dozens and dozens and dozens of DNA modifying experiments going on all out in the open, all documented, all on the website. It's a government website, Department of Gene Technology. And yeah, it's crazy what they're messing with, basically.
Yes. Yeah, I think I heard Jared Rennick trying to get to the bottom of some of that in the estimates hearings, but he didn't get very far because they just kept blocking his questions.
Yeah. Yes, we've got to reestablish truth and democracy in a variety of different ways. We've got to keep pushing the courts in Parliament, peaceful protests. We've got to encourage our doctors to stand up and speak the truth. We need to support alternative therapists like yourself who are working to heal the injuries that are going on. And we need to support the channels, again, like yourself, that are getting these information that people need out there, because we need to have healing from this tyranny that has captured us all.
Yeah, it's going to be awful moving forward. Like you mentioned early on, the suicides, and I've been seeing a lot of teenage kids, and I can't even say it to them because I don't want to scare them about what's going on in their body with the jabs. And it's awful seeing the mental health of the teens who have been forced into. Their parents come in And the parents are saying, oh, yeah, she's up to date with her vaccinations, and they're so proud. And then you're watching these kids going through these mental health issues. And because some of the ingredients, obviously, I think Dr. Richard Fleming, so he did one on Novavax about in July 2021, I believe, might have been May, anyway, so last year. And he basically said when he looked at the four major jabs, the J&J, Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca, there's one component of the spike protein that's identical, and it's the prion component. So it seems to be the only part of that manipulated synthetic spike protein that's identical in all of them, and it's the prion part that I believe gets across the blood-brain barrier. So Dr. Peter McCullough, when he first started jabbing people, because he believed he was doing the right thing, so anyone who was vulnerable, you know, and he's amazing. He's been, you know, dynamo over there, and once again, caught all the time trying to protect himself. But he was saying that he all of a sudden started seeing people with early onset dementia, you know, within a month of the jab. And so that's when he started pulling back. So I think they stopped recommending it for anyone within 3 months when it rolled out in the States.
Yes, yes.
And
yes, it has been destructive in a number of ways. And any therapeutic that instructs your cells to start producing a foreign substance, it really sounds quite scary. And for something such so new, so radical, so untested.
So can I get you to expand on that? Because some people might not understand it. So the way that it changes our DNA.
Yeah. So, well, it's not so much the DNA. That can be argued because there is evidence that it's been changing the DNA. But what it literally does is it's messenger RNA. So it hijacks the machinery of the cell that is responsible for producing proteins that come out of the cell. So proteins are little products from the cell factories, and the DNA tells the mRNA what to tell the factories to produce. So, you know, Moderna and Pfizer came up with this ingenious idea that they could insert some genetic code, the mRNA, to tell the factory what to produce, which was these the spike proteins. So it's literally turned each cell of our body into a spike protein factory. Whereas in the past, vaccines, you would inject the protein, some of it, into your arm, and then it would dissipate through the deltoid muscle, and the body would have an immune reaction to it. This time, they have injected code that produces millions, maybe billions, maybe who knows how many billions or trillions of these spike protein particles. So with that technology, we just don't know what's that's doing to people. And that's how you get blood being ejaculated. That's how you get people with chest pain. That's how you get all these strange clot formations coming out of people's veins, because they've turned our body into a factory producing of synthetics, which who knows what purpose they're intending to do with that. Maybe they don't even know themselves. I don't know. But it's been a terrible experiment, or an evil one. And the results, I think, are clear to see that it's very harmful for people.
Yes. And one of the researchers I was listening to suspects that most children's vaccines have some of the same stuff in the bases now, because they potentially have been rolling this out for several years overseas. So it's going to be interesting to watch how our children move forward with this technology in their bodies.
Yes.
Because it doesn't feel like it's stopping. It does not seem to matter.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It does seem it's accelerating. Monkeypox is just around the corner. We must be ready for that. The US has already purchased X million of monkeypox vaccines. The World Health Organization is meeting again for another emergency meeting regarding the monkeypox. So I foresee that more restrictions, more lockdowns, more vaccines are coming. And that's why it's more important than ever that we don't give up this fight, that we all stand together and we demand our human rights, we demand our freedom, because bad things are yet to come.
Yeah, awesome. Is there anything you'd like to share to give some hope to people? I love the fact that there's freedom fighters like you out there, you know, sort of, because I think that is what we need. Because without hope, you know, what are we as human beings?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I would like to share that the Queensland People's Protest is organising a one-year reunion of the convoy to Canberra march from the 12th of February this year, We're having a one-year reunion in Southeast Queensland next year on the 11th or 12th of February, where we invite everybody from around Australia who had a great time at Camp Epic, had a great time walking up to Parliament House to reunite again, to restock those flames of passion, of freedom, of happiness and unity, and to re-energise us again for the fight that's coming ahead. That's one thing. And the second thing that I personally believe in is God. I find that he gives me the strength to keep going and to keep fighting this fight. And I find that no matter what happens to me, I'll always have him on my side. And so that's what gives me the courage to keep going, because with him, I feel free. And so nothing can hurt me.
Yeah, because we've got the delightful humans in the background, like Noah Yuval Harari, who say, "We are the gods. We are the people above the clouds," and they are totally disregarding God from the whole picture. And it is a very interesting time on the planet.
It is indeed. I feel it is indeed.
Yes. Mm. And you're a father of children? Like you
Yes, I am. Kids? Yes, I am. Yeah. Yeah. So this fight's important for me, because what I do will affect their lives in more ways than one. There's a little bit of a short-term pain involved in what I'm doing. Coming out as a radical doctor or whatever you want to call me, but I believe there's long-term gains, especially when we win this fight for freedom, because they can hopefully live in a society again in the future where democracy and human rights are protected. Yes. Again, if we don't, then I don't want to even imagine what type of world they'll be living in if we allow totalitarianism to overrule this planet.
Yeah, because I've heard Bill Gates say several things in the last couple of years that have chilled me to the bone. For a start, about 10 years ago, him and the World Health Organization and UN said they want a decade of vaccination so that every man, woman and child on the planet's vaccinated. And that was 2020 to 2030 that they had that 10-year plan. And he said that the next pandemic will really get attention, if this one hasn't yet, he said with a smirk on his little face. They want the ability to test every single man, woman, and child on the planet every single day if there's a pandemic. Actually, PCR tests. Got an opinion? The old PCRs and RAT tests that we're using?
I think that they were unreliable from the start and continue to be, and were a great money-making exercise for the pathology labs and the manufacturers. And, yeah, it's just disrupted the entire nature of medicine, where medicine used to be about connecting with your patient, doing what's best for your patient, making a diagnosis based on history and examination, with investigations being just supplementary or not even necessary to a lot of diagnoses. So now everybody thinks that the way you be your doctor is with a test, and that's what's really corrupting medicine, in my opinion, is patients aren't even listening to me anymore about a lot of things. It's just about what test shows, this test, that test. It's not about the test, especially when the tests aren't always reliable. It's about who you are as a person and what your medical history is. So we've got to get back to where the government and the tests are out of the doctor-patient relationship, and we're just treating our patients based on the evidence and our experience rather than so much about these tests that we have no control over.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the same in natural therapies. Probably for about 10 years there's been a whole bunch of, I don't know whether it's blackmailing or something, but there's something totally different where they're basically being trained to be naturopathic doctors. You know, so they don't do anything unless it shows up in a blood test. So, on the Facebook pages for the Naturopathic Practitioner Association, I hear these questions. I think, well, what about old fashioned stuff? What about the bowels? What about the breath? What about bloating? What about the eyebrows? You know, asking sensible questions and finding out lifestyle. And very much gone to that pathology based medicine.
Yeah.
Which is just the end result of what's going on with your lifestyle and diet and stress and health.
Yes, it is. That's right. Well, I'd like to thank you for having me on today, and I'm giving you an opportunity to promote the work that we've been doing. And I want to thank you for doing your part in getting the freedom out there as well, Madonna.
Thank you so much. I'll hope to be there on Thursday, actually. That's a space when I can possibly make that happen.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah,
beautiful. See you there.
Okay, nice chatting.
Thank you. Bye.